What is it like to grow up in the midst of a war? How could God lead the way to find Jesus? Find out today as Nadine Abraji shares her faith journey with us. Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson.
And I'm Joe Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk with Nadine and learn more about deeper Christian living.
Yes, and I am so excited today to introduce our guest, a sister in Christ and a business owner, Nadine Abraji. Now, Nadine is originally from Lebanon. She is the mother of two grown children. She speaks four languages, very impressive, and she successfully runs her own design business here in the United States. Nadine is a woman who has come to know and love Jesus, and I just extend the invitation to her to come on to the show because I believe she has a lot of love and encouragement to share with our listeners today. So I am blessed to be your friend, Nadine, and welcome to our show.
Hi, Tammy. Thank you so much. It's a blessing and definitely an honor to be with you here. So thank you for asking me to come and talk with you. Hello, Joe Heather. How are you?
I'm so excited to meet you today, Nadine, and our listeners are going to be encouraged to meet you and get to know you as well. So to kind of kick us off, I would like to ask, can you share with us what it was like growing up in Lebanon?
Definitely, it's a very different life, and I think growing up there, especially because that's where all my family is, definitely a lot more, for me, a lot of family ties and family outings and family connections. But definitely it's a much more closer knit. Everybody knows everybody kind of, and it's a very, a much bigger community and also a little bit more conservative than what we experienced in the United States.
Yeah. Well, I've heard some people describe Lebanon as a mixture of an atheist, a Muslim environment, other faiths. You know, tell us about that element of growing up there.
So Lebanon was colonized by the French. So, and just throughout the history, because it was close to Palestine and a lot of the areas where, you know, Jesus and Christianity did start, has about 40 to 50% Christians in the country. So a lot of the Lebanese are Christians. I would say it's a very small percentage of atheists. I would say it's more Muslim and Christian. And my family's background is a Muslim background.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, I know we've talked before, and many of the listeners don't know, and I really didn't know until we had a deeper conversation about your growing up, that, you know, during your childhood, you know, Lebanon was going through a civil war. And so can you share with us, you know, what that was like and how that kind of impacted your life going forward?
So the civil war in Lebanon was between the Muslims and the Christians. And sometimes it was between the different denominations of Muslims and the different denominations of Christians. And it was very religious based. It was really based on religion. And until today, the president of Lebanon must be Christian. The prime minister must be a Sunni Muslim. And then the Senate leader must be a Shia Muslim. So until today, when you go to vote, you can't just vote for a Muslim president. The president must be Christian. So it's very much religious based. And until today, it's like that. Back then, I really did not realize what was going on other than us running down to shelters every few days because of some very loud bombings. I didn't realize what was really going on. I was very young and really just wanted to be a kid, play on my bicycle outside and you know, meet up with my my cousins and dance in the living room to 80s music and Pet Shop Boys and all that fun stuff, right? But we actually end up spending a lot of our time fleeing. Most of the time leaving our apartment and going to monasteries where it was safer, maybe going to the Christian side of the country where we felt safer because we always felt like it was not, you know, it was dangerous. One of the things is that my father is Iraqi. He was not Lebanese. So because he's Iraqi, he was not welcome during the civil war to be in Lebanon. So you could be driving and get at a checkpoint where somebody from the wrong side of town was at the checkpoint and they just shot people randomly in the car. And so that was one of our biggest fear is that we, you know, my dad would be driving us one day and we stop at a checkpoint and someone would shoot him right in front of us. And that was one of the biggest reasons why we finally decided to immigrate to North America, which is where we immigrated to Canada first, because my mom was very, very afraid that they would actually kill my dad because he was not Lebanese and he belonged to, you know, Iraq, which was, you know, kind of like it goes with a certain sect. So it was not welcomed in Lebanon. So I immigrated in 1984 to Canada with my family because of the war.
Wow, I'm so overwhelmed by trying to imagine the picture that you paint, and this picture of having fun with your cousins and dancing, and this picture of being afraid that your father would be executed in front of you. And it's hard for me to imagine. I've never had to walk through something like that, and so it's just kind of overwhelming, you know, when you think about it. You know, you had to carry parts of that with you as you migrated to Canada. You've kind of described finding safety, moving to Canada. How did you decide? I mean, how did your parents decide that Canada was that place for you?
For Lebanese, they're always looking to immigrate, even till today, with it not being a war and being, you know, at peace, the economy is not well. And you will find that Lebanese will always be looking for somewhere to go. So we're always on the know of who's accepting immigrants and refugees and asylums. So at the time, Canada was accepting immigrants. And my uncle also lived in the Pacific coast area. So that it just made sense for us to immigrate there. I do remember I was very sad to be leaving. And it's very gut-wrenching, right? You're leaving some very close family connections, all your cousins and aunts and uncles, and to go and live by yourself with you not knowing the language very well. And we look different, our color is different, our accent is different. And so when I arrived in North America, I want to say, as traumatic as war sounds like when I'm saying it to you, it was so much more traumatic to live a childhood as an immigrant. So traumatic, so difficult. I want to say we're more open today, but back in the 1980s, North Americans were not as open to immigrants as we are today.
Wow, that's heartbreaking just to hear your story. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are listening that maybe have gone through some similar things. Maybe people who, you know, are immigrating today from other places where there's famine and disease and poverty and war and, you know, violence and gangs and stuff. And so we heard your story about how, you know, you grew up in this terrible environment and then you came to Canada. And so I'm curious how you go from all of that, because I'm sure our listeners would like to know how you then come to America, you come to the United States, and kind of more about how you actually, if you could share your journey, how you came to know Jesus.
I want to say it's quite far between when I immigrated to when I got to know Jesus, because I was 14 when I came and I kind of met Jesus in my 40s. So there was a bit of a bit of gap in between. I lived a traumatic childhood with war, but then I was a very traumatic childhood with growing up in high school. High school, as it is, if you're not an immigrant, is extremely challenging. So now add the accent and add a very cocky, arrogant Arabic girl coming in, you know, I know what I'm doing, you know, don't need all of this new culture, we're, you know, we're this and that. So it was difficult. I was bullied a lot in school, I want to say. It was also not looked highly upon that I, you know, that we did well academically. I just, you know, I was with the, I couldn't even get into the nerdy crowd. They wouldn't even accept me. So that was difficult, I want to say. And then I married actually a Lebanese when I was in my early 20s. And he came to live with me in Canada. And then together we came down to the U.S. And I ended that marriage in 2012 and remarried. And all throughout my life, really, because the war is so fueled by religion, my parents had a very, you know, bad reaction to religion. And so we were really raised without a God. We were raised that you're self-sufficient. We don't believe in a God. We don't believe in all these rules and all this stuff. And I don't blame them. You know, looking at how the country is run by so much religious, you know, I want to say hypocritical thinking. It just doesn't match up. I don't blame my parents. But we were raised without much spirituality. And I think that's what I want to say was missing for me. And I was self-sufficient for a long time. Looking back on it, I think God was just patiently waiting for me to get to the point where I would actually hear his voice. In my second marriage, I married someone who has a Christian background. And in my second marriage, I want to say, I'm no longer married to this gentleman, but my ex-husband was an alcoholic, which brought me to a support group for spouses of alcoholics, which is called Al-Anon. And that really supports the belief of a higher power. Only through a higher power can we actually get through this stuff. And so I started Al-Anon in 2016, and that was interesting because I went in and I was like, I'm not going to believe in God. I'll do whatever it takes to live with the alcoholic. I'll do whatever. Give me some other options, but I'm not going to believe in God. Like, that's just a no-no. And I remember nights where I'm like telling God, I'm not going to believe in you. Like, just letting you know, if you think this is going to work on me, And God, like, looking back, I can totally see him just sitting there smiling at me going, okay, all right, let's see how you're going to do this. And my husband's situation got worse and worse. The disease of alcoholism is a very progressive disease. The marriage was very abusive in so many different levels. And so I want to say, as I continue to get the support of the community, in 2016, I remember 2015, I remember buying a Bible, but really not opening it up, like just kind of like, I'm still resisting, right? I'm still like, not doing this, you know, I'd started to learn how to pray. And a lot of these things are kind of like, when I'm on my knees, like I'm in so much pain. I want my marriage to work so badly. You know, I want to be okay with my husband so badly. It wasn't really because I want a God or I want faith or I want joy. I just wanted this marriage thing to work. So, you know, there was some, you know, my ex-husband is from Guatemala. His mom is a Christian. And she used to listen to me really in a lot of pain, talk to her about my marriage. And she suggested prayer. And I remember when she first suggested prayer to me the first time, I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this what you're? No, go talk to your son and tell him to shape up or ship out, you know? She was like, no, pray for him. And I was so upset. I was just upset a long time. I was very angry until I want to say my third separation with my ex-husband. He left the house as we're going through all of these, you know, drunk relapses I want to say I spent a lot of time in prayer, but not like the fourth separation. When we separated for the fourth time, it was so painful. I remember it now. I spent at least 4 to 5 hours in prayer a day. Mm. And that's a lot of time. And, you know, when you look at it today, you know, we divorced in November 2019, and the divorce took 6 weeks. When it was time, when the purpose of the hardship was no longer necessary, God removed it in 6 weeks, you know, but he kept it there until I surrendered. I accepted his invitation for a different solution. And I walked into his grace in so much prayer, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, and God knew that, you know, the stubborn, arrogant girl that I am, it's not going to do it just a couple of months, right? Like he let me be separated from my husband for 2.5 years so I could learn to pray, spend time talking to him, spend time reading, get into the scripture, do Bible study, get into all of that stuff. And then it was like, okay, we're all good now. You have a good relationship with me. Bye, husband. And it was like that. We got divorced just so quickly.
Wow. Wow. What a roller coaster you had to be on. And I want our listeners to hang in. There's a lot more to Nadine's journey, and I want you to hear about it. And I want to pause for just a second and just let you know today's episode of Love and Encouragement to Live By is sponsored by our guest. Nadine's business is called Nadine De Leon Designs, and it's a design, decor, and rental company that provides an amazing experience for clients who are hosting events. She works with clients who either have a vision for what they want, or they're looking for someone like Nadine to help bring that vision into reality. And so she brings her special designer's touch together with her clients to make these events come to life, whether it's flowers, linens, rentals, it's all in one place through Nadine. You can book a free consultation with her to learn more about the services, and you can find out more about Nadine at nadinedeleon.com. That's nadinedeleon.com. And as a part of this sponsor spotlight, we have another special message. Tammy, will you share that with us?
Sure, I would love to. So let me take a moment to tell you about Nadine's favorite charity called United for a Better Life, or UPAVIM. So the goal of the organization is to support women of El Esperanza in Guatemala, fight for better economic, health care, and educational opportunities for themselves, their families, and their communities. They believe that when women are economically empowered, families thrive and communities are safer. Their income-generating projects include crafts, a bakery, a store, and rental income from health clinic and a laboratory. You can find out more about how to make a donation and about their organization at upavim.org/support. That is upavim.org/support. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Joe Heather.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tammy, for sharing that. We're going to hear more about that shortly. So, Nadine, just going back in what you were just sharing with us before the break, you know, it was so powerful how you said, you know, God was just sitting there waiting. He was ready and waiting when you were ready. And His grace is just so incredible to us. And so I'm, you know, putting myself in your seat and imagining sort of that feeling and how He just took care of things in the moment that you were ready. But it takes me back even earlier in our conversation to kind of how your family saw faith in general and how they raised you. So I'm curious, you know, how did your family respond to this newfound faith in your life?
I think they knew I was going through something, so they respected that I'm trying to work things through and trying to find a good solution for my hardship. I want to say my parents didn't really say much other than they did ask me not to mention it when I go to Lebanon, because, you know, if we're in a Muslim circle and then you're saying I converted to Christianity, it may not be received well. Even though we have Christians who live in the country, right? They're all over, all around you. You go to the supermarket, it's Christians and Muslims, like just like it is here. My brother was very supportive. My brother actually came to my baptism with his family. And you know, again, he does not necessarily have a specific religion or a belief in God, but he does respect my faith. And I want to say, one of the real blessings of this is my daughter. This really rubbed off on my daughter, because I raised my kids before 2016, I raised them without a God. And I didn't have to talk too much to my daughter. It rubbed off on her just from seeing me praying. You know, the kids would walk into my room and see me on my bed or in my chair praying for hours, like I was saying, or listening to sermons or going to church. And my daughter now really embraces Jesus and God and just scriptures, and she actually tattooed a scripture in Arabic on her back, which I think is amazing, right? That's an amazing thing. My son not so much, but my daughter more.
Wow. Yeah, and I've met both your kids at different times. So I want to share a little bit with our listeners on how I actually met Nadine, because I think it's really interesting how God, just like how I met Joe Heather, God will pull two people together for a purpose, you know, and you don't always know what it is. So I had a photography studio at one point, and I was selling off different pieces of equipment. I had these pillars that I was getting rid of and I put them up for sale. And lots of people wanted them. And then when Nadine said she wanted them, but she couldn't get them right away, you know, and she was worried that I wasn't going to, because I had to go to Columbia and I had to drive to give them to her. And I said, no, those are for her. Just wait. You have a photography meeting coming up in another month. Just wait and bring them there. So I said, okay, I knew enough from my relationship with God that I was to follow instructions, that he had a purpose for this. And so I held him, you know, and she met me after one of my photography meetings, and instantly we just connected right in the parking lot. I think this is shortly after you were saved, and we were going through different things. I think I was in a position where I was getting ready to step out of that relationship of where I was engaged for a long time. And we just shared in the parking lot, and I think we were crying. It's like, I gave you one of my books, because I used to keep all my books in my car. So if somebody had a need, I could just give them to a minister. And we really connected at that point. And because God knew at this point, which I want to point out, is that I was in the process of writing my first book, but I didn't have a studio. And he supplied, but Nadine was also looking for a photographer to help shoot some of her events for her. And so he knew. We worked it out so that I could basically use her warehouse to photograph my models in. So he provided the source for a need before I even knew I needed it, you know. At the same time, he helped me to connect with Nadine. So I don't know if you want to share your part of how that kind of relationship started.
Absolutely. I think you're so right, Tammy, because when I was picking up pillars from you, I remember I actually rented them to somebody before I even found them. So I promised them to someone. I'm like, now I need to find these columns. And so it was like, I'm sure if you canceled out on me, I'd be like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? You know? I remember actually meeting you up in the parking lot. It was like around dusk, and we're going into your SUV and we're getting the pillar out, and we at least talked for an hour, right? And there was so much that we had in common. And I agree with you. You know, ever since I have found God, I take nothing as a coincidence, not a person, not an incident, not an event, not a failure, not a hurt, not a breakup. Nothing is happening just to make me mad. All of it is happening for my highest good, because he is immensely, immensely loving and caring, and he's always working for my good. So today, whenever something happens, I just went through something that was hurtful a couple of weeks ago. And for me to get to, you know, to get to a point with only a 5-year relationship with God where I'm like, thank you for the pain. Thank you for this person who's not very kind to me, because I've learned this and this and this and this, because you've made me this other woman that I never imagined to be when I first even started to believe in God. Because remember, I only believed in God so he can fix my marriage. That's the only thing I had on my to-do list. And then he's like, believe in me and all these things will be given to you, not just a marriage. And so he did not reconcile my marriage, which I understand why today. It was just not equally yoked, but he gave me everything else, which I can tell you is much more valuable to me than the marriage. And I, even if he gave me nothing, I think my relationship with God, you know, I wake up every day so in love with him. Because that is all I need, right? It's just so powerful. And, you know, it's everything I need. He is everything I need. And then I just have to, I was talking to a colleague yesterday, and I said, do you know someone who can help me with admin work? And she said, no, not really. I said, okay, well, I'll just pray about it. They'll show up in a couple of days, because that's how he is. And if that admin is not here, it means it's just not the right time yet. But when I started thinking about it, I know the thought, the desire was given to me by him. And it means that someone is coming along and they will be the perfect person for me.
Amen. Amen. That is so true, Nadine. And to be able to walk into that. And you were saying, you know, that nothing is not used for the good. You know, God can work it for the good. It may not be a good experience, but God can work it for the good, because you are marked as his, you're called according to his purpose. And, you know, I think that's why you're here today. That's why Tammy was led to invite you here to talk to our listeners, because there's listeners out there who have been through maybe a journey similar to yours. They were raised in a family of no faith, and now they're trying to figure out, well, who is this guy God, people call God and that they pray to, and who is Jesus Christ? And there may be parents out there listening right now, Nadine, just like you, where one of their children maybe has come into the faith and the other child hasn't. Or maybe it's not even children, it's loved ones. Maybe it's a spouse or a family member that you're longing for them to have this beautiful relationship with God that you have, but they just don't. So what words of encouragement about God's love do you have for those people who are listening, who are going through, you know, something similar to your background?
I think for me, if I'm whenever I think of my loved ones and not having that journey of faith, the way I operate is I believe everybody has their journey and God is with them. Just like he was with me for, 30 plus years before I believed in him. He wasn't like absent. He was just waiting for that perfect, the perfect moment. So number one, I believe that there's a God for every one of us. There's also a specific special journey for every one of my loved ones. Like my son, I know that he has his own journey to walk. I cannot walk his journey for him. Here's what I can do to be of service to God for my son. I can show him what someone who believes in God lives. How do you live? Right? I can be that example. How do you live as someone who loves God? How do you live as someone who's loved by God? How do I worry? How do I solve problems? How do I manage my finances? How do I take care of you when you don't do something I agree on? All of these things are opportunities for someone that we love to look at what God means in our life. I don't believe that God is something that I can force on you because he didn't force himself on me. He just let me come to him so willingly. And I believe that and I do have people who, when they listen to me talk, because I do talk in support groups and women do reach out to me when they're in crisis, that, they call me and they're encouraged to believe in this higher power just because of me talking about him, me talking about how much he does for me, how much I love him. I don't have to say, hey, listen, you got to believe, I don't do that. I just, he's in me, right? His spirit's in me. I just have to show up with him. And even before we had this interview, I invited him. I said, God, please come into and speak through me. And that's all we have to do, right? That's what I believe. And I believe that in the right time, people will come to him as they see others living with him, right, in his service.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's how we're supposed to be. And that's one of the reasons why we have this podcast, is we want to share the light of God with others to show. We talk about subjects of Christian living. What is it like to be a Christian? What is it like to deal with disappointment and discouragement or weariness, and how do you love God, and how do you pray, and how do you deal with all these problems that come? We share a lot of problems on here, and we share about how we work through them, and I also believe, and I totally agree with you, in my life, wherever I go, I want to walk around like I have the light of God with me, so when people look at me, they could say, she has something that I want, she's different. She has love inside of her. It just radiates. It like glows around you. You want to be that person. So, because you want to live by example, because when we don't live by example, and I know I've shared this before, it can turn people off. They see you speaking one thing or saying one thing and then not living it, can be dangerous, amen. And I think, by your example and stuff, in his own journey that, God is working in his heart, And I want to thank you, Nadine, for coming on today. And I really believe that the words that you've shared with our listeners are going to go out, and they're not going to return void. They're going to find the right people. They're going to uplift the right people. They're going to bless them in so many different ways. And you had a great message of hope and love and encouragement to share. And if you're listening right now and you're struggling, just know that you're not alone. Nadine wasn't alone. She prayed for hours trying to get, an answer from God and find God's love. And God never left her. He was there the whole time being patient with Nadine. And God's being patient with you. God loves you. Put your faith in him and his peace, during whatever difficulty that you're going through.
Amen. Amen. And on behalf of all of our listeners, I want to say thank you, Nadine, for taking time away from your family and your business to join us today. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. www.thebookbeat.com. Next week, we'll continue our interview with Nadine as we offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.